Good morning. The notices for the following coming week are as follows. The prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, alongside the craft group at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next week's service will be taken by the youth of the church, the youth celebration, and that will be at 11 a.m. And it's my pleasure to welcome this morning Rob Ballard. It's lovely to have you with us, Rob, and I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a joy to be with you and an honor, and pray the Lord blesses us. Let's begin our worship by turning to hymn number 61630. A lot of hymns in this book. The Wonderful Grace That Gives What I Don't Deserve. But I think the words are going to be up here if you don't want to. That's fine. I'll just look here like everybody else. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We ask you to come and fill this room with your presence. Draw us together, closer to each other, closer to you. Bless us this day. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. And allow all of our needs to be met because of your love and your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us continue by singing hymn 716, Filled with Compassion.
Thank you.
I have not heard that hymn before, but I'm really impressed with it. Wow, that is a powerful, powerful hymn. You know, get the words. That's a good prayer for us, and a good stirring and call to action is that there's many millions and perhaps billions of people on the earth who are lost and need to know about Jesus. At this time, we'll take up our offering. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son who gave his life for our salvation and our blessings. And now as we give to you, we pray that you will multiply these gifts. Let them be used for the building of the kingdom of heaven, for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now we'll have our Bible readings, and these are short, but to the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is known as the love chapter, a few verses in the middle of this to describe love. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked. And this next phrase is what's key. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Then in Matthew chapter 18, again, just a few verses, two verses, about forgiveness. Peter, I'm so thankful for Peter, because he asks all the kind of stupid questions, which I'm glad he did, because I want to know the answers to those myself. And so he came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? He thought that was pretty good. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, which in the code, if you will, means 70 times seven, which means forever. There's no ending to the forgiveness. So now let us continue our worship. I used to be a prison chaplain. And this looks like a prison song because 1111 are like jail cells. What kind of love is this? Thank you. At this time, I'd like for us to have a pastoral prayer, morning prayer. We'll start off with a time of silent prayer, and then I'll pray, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer together. So let's have a few moments of silent prayer. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sent your Son to come to bring us eternal salvation and a relationship with you based on your love and your goodness. You have come to this earth so that we can be holy as you are holy. Thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together here in this room, in this house, this morning, to give you praise and worship. We lift up our hearts to you and call you blessed. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to praise your holy name. And we do want to focus on you and your goodness, how you created the world and said it was good. You gave us life and gave us breath. You're at work in each of our lives. Our very hearts are beating because your hand is continuing that action. Thank you for giving us air to breathe, food to eat, clothes to wear, safety and freedoms. And too often we take that for granted. We do want to honor you with our lives. And we want to thank you for all the blessings that we have. We also acknowledge, Lord, that we've sinned and we've fallen short of your glory, and we need your forgiveness. We have failed to act this week at times that we should have acted to help someone, to speak out in your name, to share your love and your nature and character with those who are lost. We ask you to forgive us, to fill us with your Spirit afresh, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Empower your church in our city, in our villages, in our nation, your church around the world. Empower your people to be a demonstration of who you are so that those who do not know you will know you. Let us shine as lights into the darkness. And we pray that you will open the eyes of the lost to see you and give their lives to you. We pray for those that we know that are going through difficult times. There are those that we know that are going through some health challenges. Some are in hospital. Some, as we get older, our bodies don't work as well as they used to. And we pray, Father, that you will strengthen our bodies, strengthen our minds. And as we pray for those whom we know and we love, we pray that you would hear our prayers. Help those who are having financial struggles, relationship problems, and bless and help them. We especially pray for those who don't know you, and that they will come to know you. Open their eyes to see you. And also we pray for ourselves. We all come with different needs. I pray, Father, that you will meet those needs, that you will help us to be equipped for service in your kingdom as we are forgiven, as we are strengthened, as we are filled afresh with your Spirit, as we are encouraged by the fact that we are loved and we are forgiven. And help us to respond accordingly. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we'll sing the hymn, When I Was Lost.
Thank you.
I'd like to read now from Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. Jesus is speaking and says, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, went on a journey to a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, and I'm dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, ran and embraced him, kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he's been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother's come. Your father's killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. His father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you. I've never neglected a command of yours. Yet you've never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and the richness of your words. The story of the prodigal son. So many of us are like the father, that we reach out and try to help others and they don't really appreciate it well enough. And we've all been certainly like the younger son that have made foolish decisions. And in a lot of ways, we've been like the older son, feeling like, gee, those bad people get blessed and we don't. So help us to understand the richness of this parable. Help us to grow and to better appreciate what you have done as you forgave us, as you continue to forgive us, and help us to respond accordingly. I pray, Lord, that you will help me as I share the message that you've placed on my heart, and help us all to hear your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, drawing us closer to you and our destiny as members, citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prodigal son. I've got to tell you a little humorous tidbit about prodigal son. I once knew a woman. She was vegetarian, very much an animal rights activist. Who I saw her one time. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm mad at God. I said, okay, he's used to that. What are you mad about? Reading that story of the prodigal son, why did they have to kill the fatted calf? What did the fatted calf do that deserved to be killed? I said, let me tell you a little secret. This is like a fairy tale. Once upon a time, you know, there was a king and there was a woman up in a tower. And, you know, she had long hair, whatever. But this is just a story. It's a fairy tale. See, there was really the father in the story is just a, you know, made up character, and the son's a made up character. And I want you to know that fatted calf is still alive today. She said, oh, okay. Parable of the prodigal son. And we sort of come into this story after years and years and years of the father and his two sons living their lives together. And the son comes up to the father, says, I'm tired of living here. I'm tired of being under your roof. I'm tired of all these rules. I'm tired of waiting for you to die so I can have my inheritance. I see a big wide world out there and I want my money now so I can go and make a name for myself. That's not the beginning of the story. That's the beginning of the story Jesus told. But think about all the times in the life of both of these boys that the father reached out with love and forgiveness. The older son, hey, I do things right. I've never disobeyed one of your commands. When you ask me to do something, I've always done it. When they were at church, he would stand at the front of the church and say, Lord, I thank you I'm not like these other people. I tithe. I say my prayers. I'm obedient to my father. You know, you really are lucky to have somebody like me. And the father goes before the Lord and says, oh, forgive him. Younger son doesn't even come to the church to pray. And the father's going, oh, forgive him. For years and years and years, dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times, the father's reaching out to forgive the younger son. The younger son continues to make stupid choices. Hands up, anybody in this room that's made a stupid choice? Rest of you are lying. I look back on my life. The thing that was really so horrid in my life during this lockdown of a few years ago was how much time I spent thinking about things in my past. And I was horrified to think about the stupid things I've done and the stupid thoughts I've had. And how I just pick fights with somebody because I didn't like something they said or did. And I'm going, why did I? Oh! I continually went to the Lord, and it was almost like the Lord's revealing all these things to me. Because I'll tell you a little secret. I was a lot like the older son. Oh, yeah, I read and studied this Bible. I've even been to seminary. I've learned all this stuff, you know. The Bible says knowledge makes arrogant. If you just have a lot of facts, oh, yes, I know that. Oh, yes, I know that. Whew. I know God so well. I used to be a mental hospital chaplain, which was kind of nice because staff got discounts. Somebody would come up to me and say, you're crazy. I said, I've had lessons. But when I was at the mental hospital, one time I was in with a group of other chaplains, and we were having our little meeting, and not business meeting, kind of a devotional time and that sort of thing. And I said, okay, I want to ask a question. I said, here's a scale on the wall, like this, I guess, piece of wood that's up there. And I said, if the mental patient is, I'll get down here, Joey. If the mental patient, whoops, is here in I guess, functionability, is that a word? And God is right up there at the very top. Where are we? And the head chaplain said, oh, about where that notch is up there. I said, uh-uh. Here's the mental patient, and here's me, compared to the wonder of God. There's so much we don't know. In the book of John, it says there's not enough books in the world. All the libraries of all the books, the entire earth could be filled, and we would be scratching the surface of how wonderful and glorious Jesus is. Many, many times, the Father would forgive the Son, both His sons. It never stopped. And one time, of course, Peter goes to Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? How about seven times? You know, how many times? You know, I talked about you the other day, brother. I've gossiped and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Well, yeah, I'll forgive you. Next day, somebody comes and says, you know, I talked to so-and-so today and he asked about you and I gossiped about you again. And I felt bad about it afterwards. Would you forgive me? And you're going, yeah, I guess. You know, and seven times this happens. And finally go, you know, if you were really serious, you'd stop doing this. So seven times, that's pretty good. And Jesus said, no, forever. 70 times seven. And I'll tell you something. Jesus would not ask Peter to do something that he's not doing himself. Your heavenly Father has constantly forgiven you. He's constantly forgiven me. And I need it. I need it. There's no end to the forgiveness that our Father has for you and for me. Do you know in heaven, there's almost like a courtroom scene going on because Jesus is continually making intercession for us. Tells us that in Hebrews chapter 7, Romans chapter 3, that Jesus is, it's almost like there's a courtroom in heaven. And we're not aware of it, but we're there. And the devil gets up, and he takes somebody from this room and sets them there in the chair, and goes up before God and says, God the Father, this person, do you know what they did? And he'll tell every little horrid detail of a thought you've had or an action you had, whatever it was. It may have been deliberate, it may have been accidental, but some way that you fell short of the glory of God, which happens all the time in each of our lives. And the devil's quick to point that out to the Father. Say, this person doesn't deserve your forgiveness, doesn't deserve to be in your family. Hand them over to me, I'll take them to hell for all eternity. And God the Father says, yeah, his facts are correct. And then Jesus stands up because he's at the table with you. He's at the defense table. And Jesus stands up and says, Father, this is our child. My blood has covered his sin. The blood of Jesus has covered your sin. And I've got to digress here for just a second. I am really concerned because there's a lot of churches and denominations around the world, and I've gone as a guest speaker, don't say anything about the blood because it's kind of offensive. It's an ooey kind of, don't mention the blood. And I said, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But anyway, Jesus said that you are his child. And the Father slams down the gavel, case dismissed. Case dismissed. We are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. It cleanses us from all sin. And an hour from now, we'll need to be cleansed again. And again, and again, and again. Now, Let me tell you my concern about the modern day church. One of the disadvantages you have, because you have a different speaker most every Sunday, is guys will come in like me and say, oh, I want to give a real uplifting and blessed message. I want to bless everybody. And I'm going to break that pattern a bit this morning. Don't get nervous. And that is, I want you to think about our Christian walk and the nature and character of God and the fact that it's easy to picture this because we walk with two legs, a right leg and a left leg. And we can think of, I want to ask you, which leg's more important? If you're going to get up and walk to where we're having a coffee time afterwards, I hope everybody's down there. I'd like to get to know all of you better. Welcome to the service, by the way. I had a chance to greet some of you, but boy, had so many people come in at the last, I couldn't shake hands with all of you. I like that. There's a lot of people here. That's encouraging. Got off my train of thought. Now, what leg is most important if you're going to walk from here down to where the coffee and tea is and the biscuits and all the good stuff? Don't be thinking about that. Think back here. What leg's most important, right leg or left leg? Anybody want to guess? You got to have both. You know, you'll fall down if one leg suddenly disappears. It doesn't matter which one. Let me tell you something. The two legs of God, you got it? Nature and character of God. We hear a lot about the love of God, and that's one leg. Yes, the love of God, the love of God. God is love. He loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But the other leg is his holiness. Yes, he's love, but he is also holy. The Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's not Father, Son, and loving Spirit. Do you ever think about that? He could have said Father, Son, loving Spirit. But no, it's his Holy Spirit. I remember when I was at my very first church. Oh, beautiful little fellowship, wonderful people. And there was this boy, he was about maybe 7 years old. And he was a really neat little boy. Oh, he was. And at Christmas came around. The Sunday after Christmas, he said, I got me a Bible for Christmas. And I said, and I'm a seminary student, you know, all intellectual. We're studying the translations and the Northern Irish version. You've heard of that, the NIV. When I was in Belfast, they said, oh, yes, the Northern Irish version. And there was, you know, King James and New King James and Revised Standard and New American Standard, which I use. And there's a Living Bible and you got more translations than Carter's got liver pills. Did they have Carter liver pills over here? Anyway, but there's all these translations. So this wonderful little 7-year-old boy, his eyes bright, says, I got me a Bible for Christmas. And I'm acting like older brother. Oh, yes? Well, what kind of Bible? And he said, a holy Bible. And I said, yep, thank you, Lord. That, you know, I accept that. Rebuke for a 7-year-old. Put me in my place. God has said, do you know the word holy is in the Bible more often than the word love? How many of you knew that? Did you know that? Yeah, we hear about love all the time. But yet, I mean, I checked it out in the concordance, but a great many more times, the word holy and holiness. God wants us to be holy, for he's holy. The woman caught in adultery, you know, they drag her in front of Jesus, saying she ought to be stoned. She's caught in adultery. The law says stone her. What should you do? Jesus says, yeah, she ought to be stoned. But he without sin should cast the first stone. And heard a preacher say one time, so they dropped their rocks and split. And then the woman's left all alone, and she says, oh, nobody condemns me? And Jesus says, no, I don't condemn you. But Stop sinning. Jesus forgives us, but stop sinning. What should be our response to the wonderful forgiveness that God the Father, through the blood of Jesus, gives us? What should be our response? One is repentance. You know, repentance is a word you don't hear much anymore. The modern church, what concerns me about the modern church is we want to be like the world. Well, we don't want to talk about sin. We just want you to know God loves you. And so, you know, come and experience the love of God in our church. You don't have to change anything you're doing. God accepts you just like you are, which is true. But God then wants to change us to be holy. He wants to change us to be powerfully righteous people filled with the Holy Spirit and able to demonstrate the righteousness of God to a lost world, that we can live better because of the righteousness of Jesus, as his righteousness becomes our righteousness. But back to the word repentance. Do you know the first word John the Baptist is given credit for in the Bible? He's out in the Jordan River baptizing. People come around and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Jesus comes down after being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, goes into his public ministry. The first word, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Peter, on the day of Pentecost, gets up and he preaches the great Pentecost sermon. And people interrupt him because the Spirit has fallen and they're under conviction. "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent." We cannot continue to sin. We've got to take on the holiness of God and strive for the holiness of God. Not to get saved, not to become a Christian, but because we are Christians. It's our response to the forgiveness that we've received. Repent. Now, the second thing, we must never take forgiveness for granted. Be grateful for what the Lord has done. Be grateful for what he's doing in your life. "I have got this terrible bad habit." One of the beautiful passages is found in Romans chapter 7 when Paul is writing and he gets really honest. He says, things I want to do, I'm not doing. And then I'm doing things I don't want to do. Who's going to deliver me from this, this battle I have? And he says, Jesus will. He doesn't stop saying, "What am I going to do?" He said, "No, Jesus will help us." We bring all our dirty laundry and set it before the Lord, and then he'll wash it clean. Don't try to hide anything. He already knows. "Well, Lord, this might shock you, but I had this thought." We've got to be grateful for what we have. Now, the third point, I was told when I was back in school, you had to have 3 points. And so I guess in order to do a proper sermon, here's 3 points. First one is, repent. Here's our response to forgiveness, repent. Second, we don't take it for granted. We are grateful, continually grateful. And we give the glory to God. We don't deserve forgiveness, so we're grateful for his mercy and grace. We all know what grace is, unmerited favor. Mercy, or grace, is he gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is we don't get what we do deserve. So we need grace and mercy. Third thing, we forgive others. We forgive others. Now, one advantage that God has over us, he can forgive and forget. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 in which the prophet writes, "God will remember our sins no more." Now, look how he said that. God will remember our sins no more. He didn't say God will forget them, because we can remember something we've forgotten. How many of you have forgotten where you put something? And you think and think and think. And then you remember what you've forgotten. Yeah. Okay, but he said, I will remember your sins no more. That's a promise. He will not remember our sins. They are more than forgotten. They are buried. They are destroyed. They are gone. The problem is they're still in my mind, perhaps as a reminder so I don't repeat that stupid thing I did. But if possible, forgive and forget. Sometimes it's not possible. Something is so devastating we really cannot forget, but we can still forgive. We can set that person free. Doesn't mean we're going to give them another opportunity to do bad, but as much as possible, we forgive. Even if we remember, we can still forgive and let the Lord handle this. Now, again, the Lord forgets. And one of the hardest things for us when we're really serious about coming to the Lord and wanting to be clean is we remember something, some way we've hurt somebody. I guess another thing, just to kind of jump in, we can pray that the Lord heal the hurt that we caused to another person. When I was a prison chaplain, I did that a lot. I really could find out who was serious about the Lord and who wasn't. When I said, okay, today at our service, we're going to pray for the victims of our crimes. And some people got indignant. Well, they deserved it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he deserved it. Well, they had more money than I did, so it was okay for me to break in their house and steal from them. They deserved it. Anyway, but we need to pray that God will heal the hurts of people that we've hurt. You know, think about that. Do that. But there was a story I heard about a woman who was, I don't know what the sin was, but she was devastated by it. She continually went to the Lord and asked for forgiveness, prayed. Every prayer, she asked for forgiveness. And then in her mind, she saw a vision. And there was a little angel, kind of an angel in training, was sitting there. And wrote down her prayer. Okay, write it down. And then the angel flies off to heaven and arrives at this great big archives kind of thing and goes to the front desk and hands another angel a piece of paper. And that angel flies up and goes through the stacks, all these levels of all this, these records kept in heaven, back and forth, look in here, look in there, look in there. Comes back down, hands that little angel something. And then the little angel comes back and says, we have no record of that in heaven. Stop bothering us with it. You're forgiven. Don't do it again. But embrace the forgiveness. Embrace the love of God in providing that forgiveness. And then embrace the holiness and the righteousness of God as we are equipped by the Holy Spirit to lead a new and different life, honoring Him in all that we do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for forgiveness. And thank you that we're not just to receive your forgiveness and go back to the way things were. But we would receive your holiness as well. That when we receive your forgiveness, we are changed. And we are new people. And we're now serving you. And we're sharing your love and your goodness and your holiness in every way possible. I pray for each person here. Many could be struggling with having something they've done truly be forgiven. And let them know where there's true repentance, there is true forgiveness. And let us receive that forgiveness and all the benefits that come from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is, Lord, I Come to You. And one thing I like to do when I'm leading a service is give you an opportunity to respond. And if there's anybody here that would like me to pray with them, please come up while we're singing this hymn, and I'll be glad to pray with you. If you're struggling in some area, something I mentioned, to pray that the Lord help you and empower you to walk in victory based on the forgiveness available. Let's sing. Thank you again for having me, and we'll go down to the fellowship hall now. Hope everybody's able to go down, and we can share a cup of tea together, and please, I'd like to talk with as many of you as possible. Let's look to the Lord now for a benediction. And now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all we can ask or even think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in Christ Jesus and the church and in the kingdom of heaven. Go now with the blessing of Almighty God on your life. In Jesus' name, amen.